Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Hey, here's a swapcast I did with the bold bitches over at Up to 90, Emma Doran and Julie J. You can find them on Instagram, you can find them on Twitter. They're all over the place. And if you want to go see them live, I'm sure they have updates for their upcoming gigs online somewhere to find. On this swapcast, they asked me over to talk about, obviously, conspiracy theories, but their show is making a little bit of a morph, a little bit of a change, a little squeezer, moving over, growing, changing. And they wanted to talk about some current affairs. We talked about Lisa Smith, the woman, the Irish woman who came home from Syria, who was allegedly fighting for ISIS. I was totally blindsided by this question, but it manifested itself into a wonderful conversation about, you know, identity and religion. And yeah, it was great crack. We also talked a little bit about Prince Andrew, as was the way at the time. And yeah, you can check this out and then let them know that you found it, where you found it, and that Gordo sent you. So this is a swapcast with the Up to 90 girls, and you can find all of their details in the description below, all their Twitters and Instagrams and subscriptions. So subscribe to their show on iTunes and Spotify and wherever else you find it. And thanks to Headstuff Studios for allowing us to do that there. Okay, here's the swapcast.
This week on Up to 90, we're joined by our old buddy, old pal,
Gordo.
Hello.
Hi, Gordo. Gordon Ratchard of Those Conspiracy Guys fame. Thank you so much for joining us again, Gordon.
It's an immense pleasure.
It's been a while. How long has it been?
Oh, I'd say a year.
A year?
I would imagine so, yeah.
I think longer.
Do you think?
That night that we don't discuss... the night in your gaff, the Ted Bundy episode.
The Ted Bundy reenactment
where
party.
We were all delirious by the end of it. Fucking so we start, hell. We called
that's
it
every
your
episode
gaff
of
at
my
9
show,
o'clock.
Though. It's like
we had some little almond biscuits and then the rest is
them.
A blur.
They were lovely.
So we finished up at dawn, didn't we, Emma?
Yeah, and then I got up to do the school run.
An hour later. And
go
after
my
after thinking after thinking that your car
woman.
Was robbed.
Yeah, no, I got home it was
you
completely
were
bright.
The
I didn't bother getting undressed because I was like, it's gonna waste too much time. Yeah. And I just put my
You turned those knickers inside out, champion that you are.
It was rough. I don't think I talked about it for a couple of days.
Oh, these hookies.
Shay was like, I think Shay was like, he's like, you must have gotten pretty late last night. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, no,
it's one of those tirednesses, though, because I do that like maybe 4 or 5 times a month. When you get like that, it's one of those tirednesses that brings you out in kind of like these rolling sweats. And you feel so hungry, yet you know if a piece of food touched your lips, you might get sick. It's kind of this weird, like Jesus in the desert type of
your
moment.
Your bowels could collapse if you had like dry toast. Like,
You'd love to have an enema just to get a bit of moisture into your body, but you can't actually drink it.
I think it's starting you off.
Pour
on
a glass
drip.
Of water up my hole. Like, do you know what it does, though? It evokes that kind of mid-universe, like, you know, the universe between the realms, you know, this kind of like, you're not drunk, but you're like, it's like a mad hypnosis.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember Julie got really annoyed at you about something.
Oh, she was flitting. She was emotionally unstable.
Well, I think because...
I was doing a vlog. I was vlogging as well. And you guys were like
just,
both pale.
To be honest, Gordo,
like
I
the Fritzl
just think,
children. It was...
I just remember at 5:30 a.m. So we started recording at midnight and 5:30 a.m. Like I was kind of, I think...
But you arrived at like 7 p.m. and we talked about your podcast for 5 hours though. Don't forget that bit.
And
I was like, we go do the show. And then you were like,
I just remember
just
I was
thing,
asked...
Gordo, I just want to ask...
At 5:30 a.m. At 5:30 a.m., somebody asked me, "What do you think, Julie?" And I said something like, "I just want to go home. I just couldn't. I just didn't know what was happening at that point."
I have that bit on video as well.
But we do. And I think that's, yeah, that
well,
was
it's
the...
great memories though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's. I really enjoyed
that,
it.
That was a baptism of fire. I just love both these are individual talents and then combined like the children of Captain Planet, you created something great.
It was great fun. It was hilarious.
But here was me giving you unsolicited advice, which turned out to be solicited advice.
I know.
Because you were like, "So tell us more." And I was like, "Oh, really?"
And it was a great
topic. We can't remember.
The Ted Bundy stuff ended up just going off the rails. We were drunk on power and we actually didn't talk a lot about Ted Bundy. We just talked about you getting like flashed at a park and all.
Emma, there were a lot of memories there.
But you know what? That's okay too. Every episode or every podcast about Ted Bundy is about like, and then he pulled her into the car and he had a plaster of Paris into his, and it was like, yeah, okay, we all know the story. Like, well, how does it come in context? How do people like actually view it? And since Zac Efron has starred in Shockingly Evil and Vile, people were like, that's a weird version of the story because it's actually a love letter to Ted Bundy from the eyes of his like wife/girlfriend. So everyone was looking at that going, like, that doesn't seem to be as condemning of Bundy's actions as it should be, because we all know he's a crazy murderer. But the film portrayed him to be like this kind of misunderstood genius, do you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you're casting Zac Efron.
Yeah, I was expecting a song and dance number in the courtroom.
It's hard to dislike Zac Efron, really.
He's gorgeous.
He is.
And very likable. Even in his more scoundrelous roles, like the one, like Baywatch. He's a scoundrel.
He's so good looking.
Bad neighbor.
You'd think he'd be indifferent to him because he's just so, you're kind of like, that's too good looking. I'm never going to see a person that good looking.
Emma kind of has an issue with very, very good looking people. You're not a massive fan of the like very good looking guy.
You
don't like pretty boys.
No.
Because they haven't had to face any adversity. They've no resilience. A lot of those good looking people. I find there's a lot of TV shows now, like the American, like FX and ABC and all these networks, they're creating TV shows and they're just filled with like people that are so good looking, you can't tell the difference.
I think that's a good point to kind of actually start the podcast at.
What are we talking about this week? Let's have a chat about
the first one you had mentioned, Gordo, the vicious rumour circulating this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
That the Queen is dead. She's actually not. The official lines came out and said, did I spoil that? Did I blow me load there?
Emma is a bit of a rawhead, so I know. I could feel your disappointment.
He cracked a bottle of Paddy's voice. I'd
be really into it, though.
Well,
not rawhead, but...
She's not dead, right? But, like, I know it's like they can't address every rumour, but it was a pretty big rumour today.
Is that because your one Epstein is getting interviewed?
Oh, my God. You're a conspiracy theorist. I'll give you a high five. That's the first thing I thought.
I was just about to say, a lot of people are saying, isn't this a massive coincidence the day that Virginia Roberts is being interviewed?
Yeah, massive coincidence.
But also,
that like
I
a WhatsApp group message got leaked. That's how it started.
Gibbo.
There's a guy called Gibbo.
Gibbo.
He was in a WhatsApp group with a bunch of other squaddies who were going to be like, you know, appointed to take care of the Queen's body as it gets trips around the country, whatever. And he's like, "Well, that's the Queen's pop the clugs. Make sure you get your blues out and have number threes and a four and a flan and a gribbins."
Like all of these apple and pears.
And then the lads are like, "Fuck off. Don't believe you, mate." "Yeah, absolutely, mate. She popped the clugs last night. Philip must have been giving her a rattle rattle." Like, or whatever, you know. And he's dying as well. He's on death's door.
But true. Yes. To quote he's like Emma fucking, 3 weeks back, is he dead yet?
Yeah, he's like the Grim Reaper. He's like the fucking Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, I think and even the whole, you know, like the whole thing of like, oh, wow, yeah, just happens to come out today of all days. But even the whole thing about how Meghan was just the subject of such media frenzy, like every little thing she did was being scrutinized in such a negative way. I mean, that was another deflection tactic, I would say, by them.
I think that they have these...
Would you agree? Like, she, I feel she was kind of scapegoated. I think, let's focus on the fact that Meghan is fucking up and not focus on the fact that Prince Andrew is effectively a sex offender.
Yeah, and they did it before when Kate and Will were apparently having trouble. Like, Will is supposed to have done some cheating and stuff. Yeah, so like they have these things, they have these things where... Welcome to the Royal Podcast.
I know, we're talking about them quite a bit.
But they're just in the news at the moment.
They are, because motherfuckers are having sex with children and then they're also being royal family. So, you know, you're going to get talked about. But they have these things like where they flood the news. So they have these things ready, these stories ready. And some shit will come up. Prince Andrew will do some shit. And then it's like, boom, flood the news. So like something happened a while ago with Prince Andrew, it was like the rumblings, Epstein or whatever, and Prince Philip hit somebody with a car, and then it was like he did something else, and then it's like Meghan Markle is a cunt.
But they must be
and then something else, and then because Will is having trouble.
Because they realise it has to be something negative for it to catch, like to catch a bit of...
Because people love to hate.
Yeah.
So they have all these things ready to go in the pipeline to flood the SEO. So when you're typing in like, you know, royal scandal or something, you know, something happens. Yeah. Like the Queen. Today it was like the royal family, the Queen, all of these hashtags on Twitter. It wasn't hashtag Prince Andrew, hashtag Panorama, hashtag Virginia Roberts tells all. Actually, that shit is on tonight.
And Emma, you're so clever that like it has to be negative. Because obviously they can't come out with, okay, we don't want people to talk about Prince Andrew. Let's just reference the fact that Prince Harry just opened a school. Nobody gives a shit.
No one's going to share that. No one's going to be saying, did you see that?
The royal family must be just sitting around saying, how do we kill him? Like, they must be so sick. Like, I would imagine, like, Meghan was just squirming watching that interview. Like, they must be so sick of all taking the flack to deflect from this absolute...
But they knew it was happening.
...PR nightmare.
They knew it was happening the whole time.
Well, I know, but, like, what's the likes of Prince Harry going to do about it?
His PR company, his PR manager said to him, if you do this interview, I'm quitting.
Oh, well, yeah.
And the royal PR quit.
Yeah.
Because he came out and he was like, I don't remember. I mean, I have this terrible medical affliction where I don't sweat. I was like, yeah, lizards don't sweat either, you motherfucker. Like, this is
Prince Charles at this point must be like, oh my God.
Head wrecked. I don't think he gets to become the king, though. I think it goes straight to Prince William if the queen dies.
But
like,
why would they be skipping Prince? I think Prince Charles is next in line.
Yeah, but I think something happened. Some rule has changed that it's going to be Prince William and not Prince Charles because of some reason. I could be wrong on that.
I think he's still due to be monarch, but I think the general consensus is it might be better to hand it straight to Prince William because I think a lot of people still look at Charles and they're like, Diana killer. You know, there's still that element there.
We all know.
That it might be better for everyone if it's just handed straight to Will.
I was going to ask about your one. What's her name? The one who's getting interviewed tonight?
Virginia Roberts.
Like, but she's already being interviewed. What else is she going to say about Andrew? She's already spoken about him.
That's what we're going to watch it tonight. We would have thought Prince Andrew would have said everything already, and then he comes out with a fucking whopper interview where he's I was in a Pizza Express in Woking that night, and you're like, are you fucking for real, man? You going to talk about Pizzagate? Like, you're going to talk about pizza?
Oh, well, look, sorry, don't slag the meal deal. Like, you know, the meal deal still stands.
They soak the crust in oil so you get full quicker.
I will say, I actually did listen to, it was Alison Spitley recommended to me, The Mysterious Mr. Epstein. Yeah. Very short little series. Yeah. I think the episodes are like 20 minutes long, five of them. But
I'm going to be doing a full Epstein.
The whole thing with the
Pizzagate episode.
Of course.
7-8 hours.
I would expect nothing less. But yeah, so I don't know. Obviously, we talked about it when we did our rebrand, didn't we? Or after we did our rebrand. Was it 2 weeks ago?
A couple of weeks ago, yeah.
But I do.
I'm looking forward to seeing that Panorama thing tonight.
I do agree with Emma. It will be interesting. Like, I presume she's going to address some things that he said. But then in that podcast, she was asked, look, can you produce proof that you're with Andrew? Yes. And her proof, she said, well, I've got a photo. And it was a British reporter who flew. And actually, you know, took the photo, obviously saw the photo, took the photo, etc., paid her for it. Which I think, again, not that we need it, but casts a lot of doubt on the fact that Andrew is like, this is clearly, you know, fake. Because if somebody's there, oh yeah, like I have a load of photos, this is a photo.
Well, here's one for you. Have you ever heard of Frazzle Drip?
No.
Frazzle Drip.
Gets you pregnant.
Fast.
I'm mad for the Frazzle Drip at the moment. I'm telling you that.
Here's what Frazzle Drip is, right? So, there's there's, I suppose you've heard of Anthony Weiner. He was part of Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Oh, yeah.
And he was taking pictures of his willy and sending them to 15-year-old girls, you know. He got picked up, his laptop got taken. And everybody that's had their hands on this laptop has somehow ended up suffering from the worst case of suicide anyone's ever seen, including 29 New York police employees from like beat cops all the way up to like top brass.
Are dead.
Dead, killed themselves, yeah. Everyone, this laptop has passed through their hands. And there's a video doing the rounds on the dark web. I haven't seen it. I would only want to see it just out of curiosity, but it's like takes in like hardcore child pornography. And it also has...
How many minutes are we in? How long did it take?
Well, this is, we're talking about Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
It has Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin, allegedly, in this video, and their faces are on it. And do you know what? When she and Chelsea were on that show with that South African guy, what's his name?
Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah made a joke to her saying, so let me guess, Hillary, what did you kill Jeffrey Epstein or what? And she was like, ha, 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 laughing like a robot. And then Chelsea is laughing. And then she goes, no, I didn't kill him. funny story. But there might be a couple of like flashing videos going around with my face in them, and they're totally fake. Like it's all, what's that thing called? It's all deep fakes.
Okay,
where it's like video, like people are trying to make me out to be this monster or whatever. And you're like, oh my God. Are you talking about the Frazzle Drip video that's like on the dark web that's like super difficult to find? And you're mentioning it on like the Late Show, Trevor Noah. Like that is such a deep cut in the conspiracy community that she would even mention that on national television. And it made people go like, what video is she talking about? And went looking, Frazzle Drip is the code name of it.
Right, okay.
And it's supposed to be proof that she was engaging in this torturous, like sex torture.
Can I just say, Gordo, I don't believe it, if I'm honest. I don't think Hillary Clinton, I don't know.
You don't think Hillary and Bill Clinton, who have had 49, close friends, work colleagues and acquaintances of a business type, 49 people close to them have all committed suicide.
Bill
Clinton has been on a plane
belonging
to Jeffrey Epstein to his paedophile line 26 times.
I'm not saying I don't believe in the conspiracy theories around like all these people not having killed themselves. I don't know do I get the torturous paedophile vibe off Hillary Clinton. I don't know. Emma?
I think she's a torturer by blood.
I don't know. Look, I could be completely naive, but that would really shock me.
I don't, like, for me, when it comes to Hillary, I'm not convinced that she's a human being. Okay.
Yes.
There is just something going on with that face.
There's an emptiness behind the eyes. Yeah.
I'm not buying it. I don't know whether there's somebody inside her.
Well, I never would have voted
controlling it
her.
Or something. I don't know what's happening.
Like that little guy in your man's head in Men in Black.
Yeah.
When they open up the face.
That's what they need. They need a little catchy song. Yeah. She'd definitely win then. But
I need a pizza slice. It's made of children's fingers.
Nah.
More torture is the better.
But I think what I am learning to accept slowly but surely is that nobody is innocent, because the more stuff that happens, these disgusting paedophile rings just seem to be like fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the story about 37 Disney employees in Florida being like all snapped up a few weeks ago?
No.
37 dudes, like from janitors to people who played the characters of like Mickey Mouse and Goofy, dudes working in back offices like accountants, like 37 dudes all snapped up in this Florida paedophile ring, including a bunch of lads who worked for Disney World in Florida.
Jesus.
Like direct access to kids.
Well, I suppose, look, I know what you mean, that like at this point would anything shock you? I'd have to just be honest with it, I would be shocked to discover that Hillary,
she's possibly
was a torturous
like at the top
pedophile.
At the near top of the pyramid, I would surmise.
Okay, that's
in my own opinion. I mean,
that would really shock me. The Clinton cover-ups and all the rest, not shocking at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's probably...
How come everybody that crosses them kills themselves? Anyone that has any evidence that
it's that fucking saxophone.
I thought it was sick of the sax.
Maybe that's like the Pied Piper thing. That's what the saxophone actually is.
It's like a metaphor. Sense now.
No, it's like that's what the saxophone actually does.
As a child, I could never resist the sax.
Oh, smooth, smooth jazz.
The white fan, the white fan had come along. No to the sweets, but oh, damn it, he's got a sax.
Sax solo.
And yeah,
no, I think well, Hillary's a lizard.
We've referenced Bill Clinton before and the fact that unfortunately he still has that likability. It's inexplicable, but he still has it. I would have so always thought Bundy, the cover up was actually stemming from their desire to cover up for Bill's. Obviously, at this point, like, you know, it's inarguable that he was an absolute certified creep. But I never thought that actually Hillary was a creep.
I would imagine that she's probably the leader of that couple.
She's lead creep.
But then I suppose if you're covering up for a creep, you are a creep, aren't you?
You are. Sorry, but I would have thought, I'm surprised to...
It's not about sexual
I'm surprised
release,
to hear
Julie.
That
it's
maybe she's
domination.
An active creep.
It's about power.
But then you see, sure, did you watch that thing on Netflix, Tell Me Who I Am?
No.
About the twin brothers and one gets amnesia. And then it turns out that the mom, like, this is very...
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen the trailers all that. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. That the mom was, like, a bit of a creep as well. I mean, I know what you mean. Like, it's like, would anything shock you now?
Or what's that one, the neighbors next door?
Abducted in plain sight. Yeah.
Like, that dude is, like, playing
well,
the parents.
I want a friend like that, Dad. That's what I want. I want a man who would
give a tug.
And it's an act of friendship.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
And not question it. And not tell anybody.
Not tell anyone. In the moment.
In the car.
Quid pro quo.
That's the level of friendship.
What would you do if I said that to you?
Do you know what? I don't think I'd want Emma to give me a bit of a tug or a bit of a rub or whatever you want to call it.
Because what would you do to me?
Well, I would look. I'd say you could. I'll tell you what, this podcast has taken a turn. Do you know what? You could probably talk me into it, I'd say, but you know how weak a personality I am.
I'd say three drinks.
You know my weak spots as pardon the pun. Like, you would know just what to say and do.
Do you guys need me to get dressed and leave, or what's going on?
No,
I thought
look,
it was weird the way to start the podcast.
For
but
God's sake, Gordon, I didn't buy this cock ring for nothing. Jesus. The battery, you get one go. I don't care what they say on the Love Honey website. You get one go.
And they're not
the
great batteries.
Balls
either.
Go in or out, or do the balls go in?
Well, look, that's
it's very
your
tight.
Job. I've
it's
given
very,
you the problem. I've taken.
Tight.
I've taken.
Use some creativity, God.
Okay.
So Hillary's
not
a paedophile. The Queen is not dead.
What else is going on
in our lives? Lisa Smith.
What?
I mean, I'm just posing it as a question.
Who's Lisa Smith? Sorry.
You might have heard of Lisa Smith.
Tell me.
ISIS bride.
Oh no.
It's this. There hasn't been much coverage about it.
Oh, this is a secret one. Okay.
And I know you're very apolitical, so it doesn't surprise me that I'm breakingnews.com. But basically, there's been.
To stay away
if
from the
you
ISIS
can
stuff.
Believe it, if you can believe
their
it.
The YouTube channel is too.
There's a bit of consternation in the Dundalk community about Lisa Smith returning to Dundalk, even though I don't know what the big deal is, given that there have been terrorists retiring to Dundalk for years. Boom. Thank you. I'm here all weekend.
Is this breaking news? Sorry.
Lisa Smith, tell us what you think.
Lisa Smith.
Who doesn't know about
I don't know about Lisa Smith.
What?
No.
Emma.
I don't think it's been Prince Andrew stuff, man.
I don't think it's been like international.
I think it's very Irish news. Yeah. I don't think it's international.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so would you, Emma,
from what I'm gathering, she's an ISIS. She's a terrorist
like,
returning from
I said
ISIS.
To you today. I don't know.
Okay, so Lisa
I haven't
Smith
been looking at
was
her
in
wrong.
The Irish Air Corps. She's 38 years of age. She's from Dundalk. She was in the Irish Air Corps. And she left a few years ago to go be part of the caliphate in Syria. So she converted to Islam a few years ago. She's been married four times. The first time she married a guy who seemed like quite a moderate person. And she rang him from Syria and was like, hey, I'm in Syria. I think you should come and build a caliphate. And he was like, no, thanks.
Syria later.
Syria later. And anyway, so she...
Are you serious?
Then remarried a couple of times and she had a daughter.
Is that allowed?
Well, yes. Do you know what? It's funny because I wasn't sure that I was allowed to eat. Not that I wasn't sure, but it just, it's not something I spent much time thinking about, but I was surprised. But basically the whole idea, it's very binary. It's like you're either part of our caliphate or you're not. Yeah. So essentially she was almost
like,
viewed
as like
a widow that she could start again. Yeah. So she married again within within the caliphate, as they call it, in Syria. And the big issue being, of course, is that, as we know, like, the whole thing has gone to shit. ISIS have been defeated and all the rest. So in the interim period, she had a baby. So she's got a 2-year-old daughter. Her husband was killed in the fighting, etc. She was obviously taken to a refugee camp when, like, Riyadh. And I think she was living in, isn't it Riyadh is the capital?
Riyadh, yeah.
Riyadh, yeah. So she was taken along with so many others. But there's been a lot of controversy because she's given a couple of interviews whereby, obviously, within the remits of a refugee camp, so you have to take that into consideration. But she has given a couple of interviews. The first, she did not come across as particularly contrite whatsoever. And, you know, kind of disputed the fact that she was like, look, I just came here to be a wife and live in peace, which, again, when you're going to, like, you know, hangings on a Friday, it's just gonna, it's hard to marry that. But she was like, look, I was just a mom, etc. There have been a lot of rumors coming from other women within the camp saying that she was actually an active trainer of them because obviously she had this military experience.
So it's like
a photo did
come
out.
We're just following orders kind of thing. Like
a photo did come out of her holding a Kalashnikov, but she was saying that wasn't her.
Yeah, but the students are doing that in Vietnam, like every summer.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just all very kind of fishy. Now, I personally think 100% she should be allowed back to Ireland. She's an Irish citizen. Her child is an Irish citizen and all the rest.
But if she's proved to engage in terrorist
well,
activities...
Well, at the moment, she's being interviewed by the guards because they're not quite sure. Essentially, her solicitor made the point. He was like, well, you know, how far do we take this? Like, you're saying she must have been an active participant within ISIS state by going to Syria. Well, does that mean if you go to another country where you don't agree with their political system that you're automatically a terrorist? Like, it's actually probably a dangerous precedent. But she is a character,
yeah,
I suppose, because she did come out with an awful comment about how she wanted to leave Ireland because she was sick of the drugs and the gays and the prostitution and something along those lines, that she wanted to come to a state where it was somehow kind of, you know, I suppose superior in a moral sense. So that kind of made me
uncomfortable. Got a lot better over the last couple of years, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But
how would she feel about a gay prostitute on drugs?
Yeah. I know, this is the big question. I think, of course,
this
she should be allowed
back.
This
is the only place that I'm accepted for being an old prostitute on drugs.
I did have to laugh because her local TD was on Ivan, what's his name?
Ivan Yates.
Ivan Yates this evening. Yeah. He was like, and Ivan was like, look, can I ask a question? Let's say his name is Jimmy. Jimmy, do you think she ever held a gun? Sure, it's not for me to ask, did she ever hold a gun? And he was like, well, it's a fairly basic question. I guess her problem is that in the interviews, she did come across as a little bit arrogant, not very contrite about it all. Again, no more than Prince Andrew. Do you regret the relationship with Epstein? Do you regret going to, you know, be part of the ISIS state? The correct answer is probably yes. Do you regret going and being part of the whole ISIL movement, etc.?
But like, if they say to her, like,
do that,
if they say to her, do you denounce all the actions of ISIS, of Baghdadi and of...
But she was
you know,
in a refugee camp, which probably wasn't lending itself to, like, open discourse.
Yeah, but at the same time, if she's looking for admission back into Ireland, surely that there's like a State Department here in Ireland that are going that's going to be able to have authority to investigate.
Yeah.
Well, she has to be let back in. Like, she's a
citizen. But if she's engaged in terrorist activity abroad.
So. I think there's only
it's war crimes that
interest
is,
like, in her now because she is an Irish white woman.
Yeah.
Mm. I think if she wasn't Irish by birth and white, they'd leave it well alone.
There's loads of people coming back to the UK.
Yeah,
well,
loads of people come here to
fucking
hide and are allowed to hide here.
Yeah, but
there's a long history of that. Do you know what I mean? A lot, and a lot of it goes with being a neutral country. But I'd say that's the
it's
only...
It's always been a bit of a safe house. I
the
do,
only reason they're kind of...
When you look at the likes of Shemima Beecham, wasn't that her name? The girl, you know, the girl who was like 15 and ran off to join ISIL and all the rest. And
oh,
like,
yeah. I don't know
just,
what her name was now.
But they renounced her. They stripped her of her British citizenship last year.
Well, they wouldn't be messing around, you see.
Yeah, I just think... Well, I mean, obviously, you're not comparing like with like, but like, I just... I really... Look, I'm not a UK citizen, so it's not for me to say, but I just really feel that was so wrong on so many... Like, citizenship is citizenship.
Yeah, but... The only terrorists that we've had in Ireland have been Irish people.
Of course. Our people
who consider themselves English people.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have
and
that
by, and by location and by passport, they're technically English.
Yeah, I do think
the island of Ireland.
It's neighbours, so it's kind of like I think with the UK, they're just not going to. There's going to be not zero tolerance, but you know what I mean. There's going to be less tolerance.
The UK are going and arresting people for putting stuff up on Twitter, like. They don't fuck around with stuff like that. And if this woman has engaged in any terrorist activity, I don't know the case. I'm just like, you know, postulating on the scenario.
And you know what the
if she's committed fucking terrorist activities, that's their war crimes. Like, you're not supposed to do that shit.
The only time I was told about like, oh, sorry, you'll have to go in. There's been a bomb scare was when I was in London when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, never experienced anything like that in Ireland.
I have to laugh. What's that hotel up in the north?
Vibes.
And it calls itself, but it's like this, it wears it as a badge of honour. They're like, just so you know, we're the most bombed hotel in the world. Like, you know, they're kind of so weirdly proud of that. But actually, I listened to an interview.
Well, I
with
suppose
Robert
if the breakfast isn't imagine. Good, you might as well just have something like.
We're
just
so glad that you've chosen this hotel for your wedding. And we've prepared the Semtex suite for the two,
yes.
You know.
But I listened to a really interesting interview with Robert Fisk. He was talking to Eamon Dunphy about the whole Lisa Smith thing. This is a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, like, ultimately, no more than what he was saying. Like, you have to, I feel, let people back. I mean, would you think, is there any circumstance whereby it's okay to strip someone of their citizenship?
Jesus, that's some question. I mean, if it was like...
I kind of feel no.
Depends on if they had citizenship in another country. If, like, Russia does that thing, you know, like... Where if you want to get citizenship in another country, say for example, a lot of the people in former Soviet states during the perestroika times, they were told like, so you're living as part of former USSR, so you're living in a state that has now declared itself a new country, and they'll be issuing new passports. You already probably speak the language, or you speak Russian, which most of the older people did. Because they never bothered learning the local language, because they were considered themselves Russian, not locals. So when there was a time to come around, you were given the Krasny passport, which is like the red passport of Russia, and you kept it, and you were offered that citizenship of Russia. Or you were given the local passport if you were a local and considered yourself either like Estonian, Latvian, Lithuanian, Ukrainian, all the Stans, you know, everywhere all around. When the USSR broke up, they became their own countries again. And then there was people who didn't really... No, one way or the other, and they were given a Serbian passport, which is like a grey passport, and that was kind of you have a passport to travel within associated countries of the former Soviet Federation. But then after a while, those expired, and a lot of people ended up getting stuck with Serbian passports, which is an identification in your own country, but they couldn't fly on that. It wasn't an actual citizenship. And then countries like Lithuania and Estonia, and I lived in Estonia for a few years, and in order to get citizenship there, you have to pass like a really fucking rigorous language exam that'd be like Leaving Cert level language competency. And if you can't speak that, you don't get an Estonian passport. You don't get the privilege of having that. And then when they got into the EU, it was fucking like crazy hard to get those passports. So there's loads of lads who are Moldovans. And because Moldova and Romania are quite, you know, closely linked, there was people who were like Moldovans living in Romania, had Moldovan passports. And then they were like, when Romania got accepted into the EU and there was like a kind of an amnesty on all the illegal immigrants that came over in the 90s, when they were all set up and had their families in Ireland and all that stuff, that it was kind of like an amnesty going, well, you're European citizens now, and they got their cards and they got their new passports and everything was grand and they could stay where they were and there was no threat of being deported, there was loads of Moldovans here illegally, and they went, well, okay, well, we're going to renounce Moldova as our nation, and we'll take Romanian passports and become Romanian because you could stay. I don't think if they went back to Moldova and said, okay, listen, we want to move back here and we want to have all of the benefits of being Moldovan and have a Moldovan passport, that it would be worth it, number one, or that they would be accepted. Because, like, it seems the countries that everybody wants to get the passports for are the wealthier, economically vibrant countries. So there's people coming from, like, former French colonies in Africa and going to France and getting passports in French because they're part of the European Union and they have all these different benefits. They don't need visas to travel. There's people from Brazil that are going to places like Spain, Portugal and Italy and looking up like grandfathers and great-grandfathers trying to find these like birthright proofs, like birth certs and all that stuff, lineage and genealogy proofs. And then they stay in that country, they fill out, there's loads of lawyers who are like, if you pay me 2,000 euros, I'll make you get your new passport. And then they go to Italy and they stay there for 6 months. They say their grandfather is there. They get an Italian passport and then boom, they can go anywhere they like all around Europe. And they don't need these visas because they're dying to get out of Brazil because it's getting fucking rammed. So if you're able to denounce your Brazilian passport and take an Italian one, because it's handier for you to go around. What happens when you go to go back to Brazil? Do you have to get a visa to go in? Do you have to, can you get all the benefits if you decided to move home? Can you get all the benefits of someone who's a Brazilian citizen anymore? Like, people denounce citizenships all the time. So it's not so hard to get rid of it. But to strip somebody of it, I think if they're after doing all those things, like going to Syria, like fighting for a terrorist organization, then when they go to go, oh, that's all fell apart now, can I come home? Like, without officially doing it or signing off on, like, I don't want an Irish passport anymore, I'm good in Syria, until the shit comes down, then they want to come back. It's kind of like they did it unofficially, though. Do you know what I mean? They handed it back unofficially.
Tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys.
What do you think, Ems?
Are you saying we won't be able to win the Eurovision again? Is that what you're...
I'm saying it's going to be sketchy. Yeah.
And also Estonia.
If Lisa Smith is going to be presenting it.
What kind of terrorist organisation were you in? Well, what the hell were you doing in Estonia, Gordo?
It was like Lee Harvey Oswald job, you know, when he went over to Russia.
Well, can I just say, by
Julie,
the way,
if I blink twice, we just fucking go for the door. And if I get out first,
Estonia. Jesus. I actually, speaking of which,
she's blinking quite heavily now.
I love a bit of Hector, but he did say on his travel show on Teach Carol last night, which I am currently.
Oh, he's getting on!
Fred now is subjected to a lot of Tg Carr, so talk about blink twice if you need help. But I love a bit of Tg Carr. But Hector did say this is the window where Lee Harvey Oswald came along and shot JFK. And I was like, this isn't out. Okay, I'm now switching to Jonathan Ross. Like, seriously, Hector. Come on.
We know Lee Harvey Oswald didn't do it.
But of course, you know, come on, Hector.
Jesus, so he's just phoning
in. Neil Ain Chancer B. Being the buccal bow in the cowboy hat, I can take it all, but fuck off now, Hector.
I like your passion.
He's in Dallas for 2 minutes, and then he's like, oh yeah, and by the way, Lee Harvey Oswald came along and decided one day to shoot JFK. Like, sorry,
so
but no.
You realise what you're doing now?
Burning brands.
You're calling out Hector.
I'm calling you out, Hector.
If you leave this in, I'll be well impressed. Because I'm like, she's going.
In.
You're not calling out Oscalia.
Hi, Keen. There's a bitch at 1 hour 4. Okay, so this shows how disengaged Emma is with the podcasting process. Because the name for editor is Connor,
okay,
not Keen. And
sorry,
I'm
Connor.
Just
there's been a lot of editors.
They oh my god. Go.
Sorry, did I go off on one there about your one from Syria
here,
and I said some shit
to
and they were.
Jamie's email when
what
Jamie
happened
told
here?
Us he was leaving.
No, but guess what?
You met Jamie.
I met Jamie.
Did you?
No, I didn't meet Jamie, sorry. I met Jessica the other day at a panto.
Oh,
there
Jessica
was a draw.
Was our first producer.
Yeah. She won tickets to the Maldives.
Is that near Moldova?
No.
I don't know. Is she mates with Lisa Smith? Is Lisa Smith anything to do with Michelle?
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
That's why they want to get Lisa back to be a guest in the panto here for Christmas, is it?
Well, I did say I don't think it's coincidence that the week Dancing with the Stars contestants I revealed Lisa Smith is back.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a coincidence. Can you imagine? And now doing the cha-cha, it's Lisa Smith.
Come here, what Irish comedians are in
but
it?
Can you just mention, though, by the way, what's your take on citizenship? Do you think there is...
Yeah, because I did a whole big thing there and then the two of you are nearly fall asleep.
I'm saying I think it's inalienable. You're saying in some circumstances you think it can be taken away.
I'm thinking not in some circumstances, taken away. What I'm saying is people give it up
a
lot for certain reasons. And what she did to go there and
take... stand by their decision.
She's decided to go and give fealty to another country.
She is an adult woman. You know, there's a big difference. I will say this. And you see, I'm just throwing it out there, like what people are saying, being a bit devil's advocate-y on it as well, you know, in terms of that she didn't come across as contrite or arrogant and all the rest. I don't think she did, but I think that doesn't mean we shouldn't let her back.
I don't know the scenario. I'm just going on.
You know, when people were comparing her to that, you know, and I'm sure I'm saying her name wrong, and I apologise, Shemima Beecham girl from London who went over. Like, she was 15. I don't think you can really compare a 15-year-old and a 35-year-old woman.
I think Irish people who were Union Jacks, points, like, take it away.
You used to have a French connection, Pencil.
No, I didn't.
Oh, sorry. Never. So you think you can take it away?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Gordon Emma.
But her bar is so low. It's like, if you support League football team, you don't have
to be honest.
If you've ever had Coleman's English mustard, get rid of your passport.
I don't. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, Ireland is neutral, and there was a period of time when they gave out citizenship to everybody. Like, you have to love them for that. But I mean, I don't know, like, taking it away, can you not, like, kind of suspend it for 5 years or and then review it?
Like your ATM card. Yeah. Like, don't freeze it all
like
together.
Your ATM cards.
I had to order another one. This is my
Do you keep on putting it behind the bar in Lily's and going, tell me when it's empty?
You put it in a pocket, don't you?
Oh, generally. Well, I like to just keep it in a pocket because I don't like to keep it in a wallet because I feel the wallet is adding weight to me. So I just need as little weight on my person as possible. So I generally just have an ATM card floating around. Shout out, by the way, to Jenny and Declan in Kennedy's in Dingle, who did report that my ATM card, as suspected, was in the pub, and I have been keeping note on it, and you haven't used it at all, so fair play to you.
That's big showbiz. She just throws the card in behind the pub and goes, drinks for everyone, tell me when it's empty. Like, that is
But this is my third one in three weeks. Do you know what it is? Absolutely not. But also, if my profile was ever at Dancing with the Stars level, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could cope with being the first voted out. I don't think psychologically I'd be strong enough to do it.
Especially after booking the next like 10 weeks off of work or whatever.
Clearing your calendar would be a bit of a stinger. Coming back after two weeks, hasn't it started yet? But like Andrew Maxwell,
you know, came out of the jungle. I know he wasn't the first, he was the second, but it's just hard when you're voted out early on.
But the length of time, I mean, you get kind of the flat fee with these things, don't you? The length of time you last doesn't really count that much, does it?
Personalize it. Like, ultimately, it's a popularity contest, really.
Yeah.
So I just, for me, I just wouldn't. I think, who did they announce? Glenda Gilson, Lottie Ryan.
Yeah.
One a day. But no, I just, it definitely...
You would do it, though.
But I think psychologically I couldn't. I'd have to take to the bed if I was voted out the first week. Like, you know, I'm just
But you
weak.
See, to be voted out the first week,
it's
you have to be in it.
It's your favourite thing about me. I'm a weak.
I know, but to be voted out the first week, you'd need to do it. So you would do it.
Julie, if you were voted out the first week, it means you're 10th of everybody else in the country. You're the 10th of 4 million people.
Yeah, no, I don't think I could take it.
The difference between the 10th or the 6th of 4 million people?
Like, and also, no, do you know what?
Think about that, though.
I just don't think I'd be
robust enough.
And I'm not saying that in like, oh, I'm such a cute, fragile little flower. I'm saying it in a, like, I don't think mentally I actually would be. Like, I just think
I think you're afraid of your own success and your own potential.
Well, look, I'm never going to be at the stage where they're like, let's get Julie fucking Jay. You know what I mean? The fact that I've been teaching incognito for
the more
weeks,
you say that, the more it becomes
how
true.
Famous I am. You know what I mean? It's just
the more you say it, the more it becomes true.
No, but I'm just never like Emma. Actually, I could see Emma being approached to do it. You'd do it in a heartbeat,
of course.
But you see,
what I'm saying is, you would do it. You wouldn't say no.
I don't know. I'd really have to think about it.
You'd think about it, and then you'd ring me and you'd say, oh, no, I'm going to go for
but
it.
But I feel fairly sure I would, because I don't think I have a lot of likability in those situations. It's something to do with my face. No, but just my facial expressions aren't like, oh yeah, I'll vote for that scrotum.
You wouldn't do the smile and breathe.
I mean, I am.
You haven't thought about it, anyway.
But I actually haven't. It's someone who said it to me this week. It wasn't Fred. It was because he was away. I don't know. Somebody mentioned to me, and I was like, no.
I purposely want to get voted out the first week.
I have my theories.
And
about
I do a dance.
Doing,
I do a dance where I wouldn't have to move, and I have a jacket on, and I whip off the jacket, and I have a white t-shirt and big black letters. I just have Epstein didn't kill himself on the front of it. And it'll be all over the news. And that's all I need. And I go home after the first week. I'll be like, thanks, everybody. Whoopsh, whoopsh, high fives all around. And that's it.
Your job would be done.
Job done.
That's good. Before we go, do we have anything else to chat about?
What, we're going? We're not even started.
Did Bloomberg...
Can I just ask you about the citizenship thing?
Of course.
So you said you whispered Brexit there. I don't know a lot about Brexit, but what I'm hearing is that people who don't have an Irish passport are going in and getting them for 90 euro as per. But there's people who are living here for 20 years, like Polish people or Romanians or whoever, like migrants. From like the 90s and early 2000s. And they don't technically have like Irish passports, but they're people who are applying for them, and it's costing like 2,000 euro.
Why would they want an EU passport?
They're overcharging. I don't know. But there's people like that are trying to get British passports, or they're trying to get Irish passports to stay in Britain. Like the people who are Irish people working in Britain have all started to come home because they're afraid of the whole Brexit thing.
Yeah.
And like,
there is a bit of that at the moment.
Yeah, I can't understand. Like, I don't know nothing about it. It's all on hiatus. There's going to be a general election next week and stuff. And then
who do you think's going to call it? I couldn't tell you. Go on.
I don't know enough about it. I think that a lot of people are like the thing on London Bridge the other day was really sketchy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They're kind of propagandizing Jeremy Corbyn as like a terrorist sympathizer, and then Boris is coming up going, I'm tough on terrorism, and like it just smells like something weird to me, like false flag, but something like a bit manipulative. And like, I don't know enough about it, and to be honest, like, I don't think Brexit's going to happen, so I didn't really put much thought into it. I think there'll be a new referendum called and people will vote it back out again, but it's just to cause outrage. It's the same as Trump in the election. Yeah. Like, just this whole thing going on. Joe Biden is fucking talking about like kids like rubbing his legs when he's in the swimming pool. And
what was that?
Yeah, he did a speech the other day, and he was like, I remember being here a while ago, and when I was in the pool, the little black kids had come up, and he called them cockroaches. And it's
no, Corey, yeah, no, no, that. Okay,
and
hang
they jump,
on.
They jump up
pressing
and say,
pause.
Yeah, why?
Where was this?
It's some weird speech. I can't remember where the location was.
Did you hear it? Read it?
I watched the video of it. I retweeted it.
You retweeted it, Gordon.
Yeah, but it was Joe Biden making a speech to people who were clapping him.
He said, but so this was recently.
It was like today or yesterday. Today, I think.
He didn't compare.
He said, and I remember being at this swimming pool, and I was sitting by the side of the pool, and these kids would come and hop up on my lap, roaches, and then they'd rub my legs and watch the hair come back up on my legs, and I'm like, this is fucking weird, man.
Look,
Biden is falling apart,
senile.
Man.
Like he needs. Well, he said, if you, that's. But I actually.
And his wife was making a speech the other day, and she was gesticulating wildly, and he sucked her finger.
I'm okay.
But she was talking on the thing, and he just leaned over and went, and just sucked her finger. Like,
what are the lads from The Simpsons?
It's bananas.
The alien lads, what are they?
Oh, Kang and Kodos.
Yes, that's what happened.
We're exchanging protein strains.
I think your dreams are meshing with reality.
I think you go on my Twitter and watch that video and be
agog. Hairy sadistic paedophile. Biden getting his legs roped talking about it.
There's another video of Elizabeth Warren, and she's doing a speech, and then somebody heckles her in the crowd, and she just freezes, like the program just stopped. Like, the spinning ball.
There's something. She's definitely from the same robot factory as Hillary. There's something very dead behind the eyes there as well.
And she's a liar as well.
But I'm Team Bernie, and I was going to start. Oh yeah, when she said that she was part Native American.
She got into college because of that.
Suffered. Is that how she got into college?
Yeah, well, she was part of a diversity program. That was the whole thing. That's
awful.
The whole.
She's absolutely got a sketchy horrendous. Path.
So she got heckled and she went like gunk, and her fucking operating system shut down. And then some other woman had to come out and like give out to the crowd for her. And you're like, that is a bit like,
I mean, that's
not a leader of the free world.
Yeah, that's promising for commander in chief.
But what I'm saying is,
hey, leave her alone.
What I'm saying is that there was a whole, like, for the last 4 years, there's been like uproar over Trump and he's not our president and protests and all this stuff. They just wanted a place in turmoil. And now the UK is the same. It's been in turmoil since Brexit. Now there's the terrorist acts happening in the street and all this kind of stuff. I think the powers that be just enjoy having people in turmoil.
It makes
us all like not pay attention to what we're
supposed to
be doing.
George Orwell, and it's like now we're, you know, Oceania is winning the war against these people.
We were
and
always
I thought
at
we
war
were
with East Asia.
Fighting those people, and yeah, that whole thing. But I do think it's funny when you said Elizabeth Warren there, for some reason, maybe it's just because it's you, Gordo, on my mind immediately went, do you remember Elizabeth Smart?
Oh yeah, the one who
I was like, why is Elizabeth Smart making speeches? But oh yeah, no, that makes a lot more sense. But you like Bernie, do you?
Bernie's cool, like he's a dreamer and he's not the only one.
He tweets
pretty hardcore shit. He's just like, we can all have healthcare, you know. We can all have it. And you're like, okay, Bernie.
Well, I do think, I like him and I like his intensity. And I did see, I had a moment the last week where I saw somebody had started a Germany for Bernie kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I did a quick Google and there's no Ireland for Bernie. I'd love to do an Ireland for Bernie. And then myself and Ariana Grande and Cardi B and Bernie can just like sit around and talk about it.
Chat shit.
But
cool.
I don't
but you
like
have to become a full on socialist though.
He's apparently doing really well and the media.
How are you about socialism?
Betraying him. I joined the Socialist Party in college for a little while because I was scoring.
Johnny's,
no, do you know what? It was because I was scoring, and any of the Dingle listeners can testify this. I was shifting this lad whose uncle was Joe Higgins. You know, the head of the Socialist Party back in the day. So I was like, I know
how. You have always been moving in circles, haven't you?
But I was like, I know how I'm going to get this man to like me, this boy to love me. I'm just going to get obsessed with his uncle. But then
you were trying to socialize his sexual performance.
So I joined the Socialist Party.
Just like, this is our orgasm.
Yeah, so I joined the Socialist Party in college. It's a running joke. I was shifting him for about 2 decades, but we were never official. Oh. Like that kind of thing. And again, Dingle can testify to that because the whole peninsula knew about it. Which?
Did you ever get a go of his Bolsheviks?
What's that now?
I'm judging by his hand gesture.
I mean, I know it's something testicular, but I don't know. Sure, like an L tickle. Yeah. There was a testicular
tickle over two decades.
Jesus. Yeah. But, so I joined the Socialist Party, but then they just wanted me to do shit at the weekends. And I was like, no. They
For
were
free,
like,
I guess,
we've
right?
We've got a protest tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm getting a blow dry and it's raining. Forget it. You know, it just, they wanted too much for me. So I think Bernie.
That sounds like a socialist right there, isn't it? Yeah, they just take.
You know what I mean? Oh, come on, because we're protesting.
You're not a natural socialist then by heart, I don't think.
My tan isn't dry yet. I was like, no, that's when I was hitting the tan pretty hard. I love Bernie.
It does take up a lot of time when you get into it, though.
Oh,
being a tan.
Yeah. Not being a tan.
There was a lot of tanning
being
going
into tan.
On.
Yeah.
And we do think Biden is totally cray cray. I'd say Barack now is Michelle, I'd say, is like, why did we go Team Joe?
He's falling apart.
He's
I think what's going to happen, and I predict this now.
Do it. Mm-hmm.
And another podcast in this very Headstuff studio, I predicted the presidency of Donald J. Trump about a year and a half before, like just after he had announced his presidency.
Okay, Gordon, you're actually erect now. You're just like, I called it.
So let me tell you.
The table's gone slanty there.
that Hillary will join the presidential race in the new year.
Ah, come on, Gordo.
And take over Joe Biden's ticket, and he'll have to step back.
Will he commit suicide?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not unless he fights back, I guess. But Hillary will be in the running for president.
I loved
for
when he said a few weeks ago, I think poor kids should have the same rights as white kids.
Yeah, oh. He's a fucking lunatic.
He's just like your uncle at the wedding that you're like, oh, please don't make a speech. Yeah.
But there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on in Ireland at the moment, and I'm trying to figure it out by going like, who's saying it and why and what's going on? Like the Gemma O'Doherty's are really up on this nationalist buzz. Like, I'm absolutely not a nationalist. I'm Irish. But I'm not like, I'm Irish. It's not the focal point of every conversation. I never really, the culture doesn't resonate with me, really. I mean, I'm great crack and all, but like, it's not.
But what about your tricolour tattoo? How did that happen? Is it Italian? It's from your time in Moldova. Okay, that makes so much sense.
You're looking at it upside down. It's the Ivory Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big Didier Drogba fan. So it's one of those things where like, You're either all the way in or you're all the way out.
That's what he said.
What you shake it all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are like out protesting like Syrian refugees and protesting like, you know, black families in Longford because the primary schools are very, disproportionately children of colour. And Gemma O'Doherty is going out to Longford and going like, there should be more white people in this school. And then the people in the school are going, but none of them live around here. So what do you want? Like,
well, I attack because you know when she first came to the fore and she put up that picture of said school in, I don't know, Leitrim
or somewhere.
But it was, so was this like, it was obviously, she put up this picture and she was trying to indicate that this is somehow like multiculturalism gone wrong. But when I first saw it, I thought, oh my God, so cute. So I didn't get the irony. I didn't get what she was doing.
Yeah.
So I actually retweeted it and was like,
it's such a virtue signal, isn't it? I don't even see colour. I just thought it was like a really cute...
Like, when she said primary school in Leitrim 2018, I was like, isn't it beautiful? Like, what a wonderful thing. Yeah,
Leitrim is repopulated,
so
finally.
I retweeted Gem with the love this. And then, I quickly realised, no, she's being ironic. But I didn't get, because I'm so literal. I'm not very good
it
at...
It sounds like you've rehearsed this story, Judy.
Look, if that hysterical retweet, you know what? I've been so now stung this week by hysterical social media. I'm just saying, that retweet of Gemma O'Doherty was an accident.
No, but I know I saw that picture and thought the exact same. I swear to God, yeah.
Yes. I didn't think it was clear. No.
But the people who were going to be activated the way she wants, saw it immediately and responded appropriately. But like, you're talking about being Irish, denying people citizenship, but Ireland is also like, you know, the young lad in the front row in the strip club.
I don't think there is much now, but like before, I think it was, if you were born here and you left the same day, like it was job done.
What do you mean job done? Like you got a passport?
Yeah. Whereas now
you just had to come out on Irish soil.
Yeah, yeah. You just had to go, yep. Just put like, one little toe and it was all
like
gold.
Baseball rules. Like if you touch the
it's a bit more complicated safe. Now.
Yeah, it is a bit more complicated, but I think there's a lot of people who are feeling very insecure in their national identity. And I think you're talking about Lisa and all this kind of stuff where she's coming back. There's a lot of people who are like, what is Irishness? Like there's a whole lot of stuff in England. People are going like, what's Englishness? What is Englishness? Like, think of the most English thing. It was like, curry and chips. And you're like, well, curry is from India and chips are from...
But you're when their football South song America. A couple of years ago was Vindaloo.
Yeah.
But I think it's so funny.
Do you know, like they don't... Well, I'm not generalising England, but oftentimes people don't recognise...
I've heard people give out on numerous radio shows, numerous TV shows, that their problem isn't that... People aren't Irish or originally from here. Their problem is that they're not part of the community and they're all together in one place, like, you know, like ghettos or whatever. But like when Irish people go to America or go to Australia, that's exactly what
they just hang out with other Irish people.
Other nationalities do exactly the same thing.
But also, it's understandable that you want to gravitate to people that share your values, that are into the same things as you. So you go and live in Sydney. it makes sense that you would gravitate to the Irish bar where they're showing the hurling, showing the football. You know what I mean? Of course.
See, I don't feel the affinity to those things. Like, I don't even eat potato crisps or drink that.
But I'm not saying if you were in Australia, right?
Yeah.
And you were sitting in a restaurant or a coffee shop or whatever, and you suddenly hear a Wexford accent. You hear two lads talking.
Well, if I heard a Wexford accent, I'd probably know them.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Would that not pique your interest? Go, oh, hang on a second.
It would if I was there for a year and I hadn't met any other Irish people and I was just longing for a bit of home.
But I'm not saying that I would, want to be hanging. You know,
but I wouldn't be like, all right, son. No, you what's don't. What's Australia like? Do you want to hang out forever? Like, do you want to move in together and then, like, only talk about Wexford stuff and then, like no, not I integrate anybody else into our lives?
I'm not into ga.
Me either.
Like, I've no interest in Gaelic. Like, lots of parts of Irish culture, I'm just like, no interest.
So what makes Irish people Irish then?
I understand that I have an affinity with the country.
Yeah, you've great crack. It's like natural great crack talent, like the gift of the gab. I think that's quintessentially Irish.
Yeah, but see,
you could drop
in
anywhere. Yeah, no, that's one of the gifts that my society, but my culture has given me is like, bit of crack and you can say something with a wink and a nudge and you fucking get away with it. Like, how are you get?
That's what I'm saying to you. You still, that's what I'm saying to you. I think you still feel Irish and you would feel even more Irish if you went somewhere long term.
Yeah, maybe. Tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys. I just think it's
Gordo,
weird.
Gordo, I've said it.
Maybe.
No, but that's the way it is.
I think a lot of people are trying to pinpoint what's Irish, and there's a lot of young lads that are like Celtic jerseys and, you know, Ra songs and trying to get in touch with their nationalism. But that also comes hand in hand with like telling people to go home where they don't come from or that they can grow up in because of what they are or whatever.
But there'll always be those headbangers where it's essentially all.
But is there anything to
fair.
It? If they're handing out citizenships to people who aren't going to integrate or to have any part in Irish society or culture, like you said earlier on, if your Aunt Lisa goes to Syria and, you know, declares her fealty to another religion, another country, and another country's war, should she be allowed to come back to Ireland? And will the fear of her not fostering that kind of environment here with other people, with other say people who are disgruntled and have the same like religious and cultural affinity that she has declared her fealty for? She goes up to Dundalk, there might be an old caliphate up in Dundalk. She might start something going on up there. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that what people are afraid of? Is that why they don't want to give her citizenship? Like,
yeah, I would say so.
That she's going to come home with terrorist ideas and find like-minded people and they'll all congregate together. Mm. I mean, we weren't forced to play ga. I played a bit of hurling. Not very good. I mean, by played a bit of hurling is like I picked up a hurl and I stood on a field about 8 times. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't in any way enamoured with Ireland. Maybe the folklore tales like Fionn MacCool and all that shit. Like, a bit of Into the West, War of the Buttons.
He's adding on a bit of
fucking Roddy Doyle. You
You're
know the van.
Stand up and sing Aaron Levine. No, like 2 seconds.
I'm saying these are colloquial. These are local colloquialized.
Rolling down your cheek, Gordo.
They're localized colloquial Irish things. I'm trying to make a point, and she's droning at the fucking thing. What I'm saying to you is like, why are people so? Why do you think that people are so against people coming to Ireland like that?
Well, I think
like they're protesting against ACL. They didn't want people to go to Listowel and Varna. There's only 300 people, but it would have like made 50% of the town not Irish immediately. Like, why do you think the people are so against it? Like, they're against Lisa, because you brought it up.
Fear.
Fear what? Fear of being bred out?
Yeah. Fear of their daughters having babies with Muslim men and their daughters going away forever.
So, like, they're afraid that their culture is so fragile.
Look, they watched... Not without my daughter. Sonny Field. Yeah. They're all smashed people's
the
shit leaving.
Them all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's probably coming
fear
from fear. Like,
it's xenophobia.
It is xenophobia, but I suppose I don't know, like, I think with a lot of these places, like, there's fuck all else going on. Like, I would more be concerned for the people being placed there in the sense, you know, there has to be a bus service. You have to be giving people enough money that if they want to go and do a night class or something that they can. So, like, my concern wouldn't necessarily be for the local community. It's more for the people in that situation who have probably gone through, like, a lot of psychological trauma. Mm. It's just making this sure the services are there for them. I mean, I think most rural towns where direct provision centres have been placed, I could be wrong now, but just based on a few things I've heard on the radio and stuff, people ringing in, etc., the experience has been positive. That's just based on, like, you know, a couple
positive
of
in the reason. Way that they're not getting bombed in Syria, but they're,
well, I know, but that's
in a hotel in Wicklow.
You know, even when I was watching Claire Byrne, like, there was a couple of people on saying, you know, we've done this, it's been positive. I was listening to News Talk the other day, they were saying, we've done this, it's been positive. I get
it's something
the
that
fear.
I would love to look into more. Like, I don't know anything about it, I'm just saying from my own personal opinion.
I get, like, the fear, but
I'm not nationalist, or I don't feel an affinity to Ireland, or I wouldn't be more proud of my country than any other place in the world. Or,
but you see, also, like, you know, people are, you know, I don't know. I just think, again, the services, etc., have to be there for people. But I think ultimately, is it not an enriching experience in the sense, if you have children of primary school age, well, then you're paying for an extra teacher. You're taking care of your teacher allocation. Or,
there's primary schools in the country shutting down and shit.
Yeah.
Because there's not, the people are in an economic bracket where they're not having the same amount of children as they used to have.
Yeah.
But it does seem, and some people say it, that they're kind of just importing a kind of a lower middle class, they're just importing bodies in for people who are going to make kids to just pad out, to fill out the population. There's a whole thing called Ireland 2040, and they're saying that if it goes the way it's going with the population the way it is, by 2040 there won't be enough working people of working age to be able to pay taxes to, because all the older people are living for much longer. So it seems like it's like a global replacement. People are all like, you will not replace us or whatever. The Germans have done it, French have done it, Spanish have done it, Italians have done it, and the Italian government has said, like, no more, stop, too many.
No wonder you've got the Italian flag tattoo.
That's what it is. It's an Ivory Coast, I told
Moldova.
You. But like for Ireland, we're a very small population, and if a lot of people come in,
the numbers are negligible of people coming in. I think we should be taking in way more people. I think it's shameful
think so,
how
yeah.
few people we've taken in. I think when Syria now was at its worst, like, we should have taken children in, gone door to door and said, this child is, like, is without anyone. I think
selling
it's actually,
children door to door.
No, I think it's embarrassing how few people we've taken in, really. I think it's wrong. I think it's ridiculous. You know, we're a wealthy European country, ultimately. I think it's just
on paper,
utterly
maybe.
Negligible how many people. Well, yeah, but in terms of, well, I think if you're comparing us to the likes of Syria.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a big difference between like Ireland and Syria. There's a lot of
resources.
Other countries on the list.
We have the resources to take care of people.
We do, but
and
I think
we should have more.
I think
here,
what's
really.
Happened in Ireland after or in the last few years is there's definitely a greater gap between there's a greater gap between rich and poor.
Oh, there's real poverty.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about people
good.
Not
there's a lot of homeless people here, and
but
the argument from the likes of
General
Doherty is like, take care of our own before we help anyone from outside. It's a little bit short sighted, but it's also like somewhat.
But I mean, the homeless situation, I don't know. We went for brunch the other day, and in the middle of the day, the centre town, and there was somebody in a tent literally beside the beer garden where everyone was having their brunch.
Put you
the
off your French
of the day.
Toast.
No, but nobody, people were just eating like it was totally fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that this was normalized.
It's some weird dystopia, like,
No, there's a homeless, like when I say Ireland is a wealthy country, like I'm well aware of the fact people are having porridge three times a day.
I know what you mean,
but I'm just saying, in terms of helping people in crisis, I think we still can, even though we have our own problems. I think that doesn't mean...
Do you think we should sort out our own problems first? Because if
no,
not, you're putting more people on an already...
I think we're never going to sort our own problems completely.
But you're not putting more pressure on an already strained and inoperable system. If the people who are already here aren't being properly taken care of, surely more people of that same sort of situation would probably exacerbate the problem and put more pressure on a still strained system.
I think Ireland's main problem, and it's a problem that, well, all countries suffer from, but particularly small countries, is that it's totally corrupt.
Yeah.
I think that's the big issue.
I mean, it's rotten from the top. I mean, you know, in terms of, like, even today now, the latest politician in this, like, expenses scandal, it's utterly sick. It's actually nauseating.
Yeah. And do you know what? I don't want to put a down on everything now, but there was a note in my door today that I have to go and produce my dog licenses to the on post, or I'm getting fined. Now, what fucking neighbour reported my dogs? They're not even out the back.
Look, Emma, it was
me.
Is it
a black and white dog license or a coloured dog license?
I don't know.
That's a joke from 1988.
But who reported
me? The black and white dog license is cheaper, apparently. But
you've been very quiet about that, Judy. Have you something to say?
Did someone rat you out?
You know how I feel about Stan. I'm sorry, I thought they just take Stan away.
Yeah, but you're a public figure now. Your Instagram, and the whole time you're Instagramming your dogs, and someone was looking at that going, look at that bitch.
I love to imagine Emma opening the door and they're like, do you have dogs? And I was like, no.
With her well-rounded and emotionally stable teenage daughter. Look at her showing off.
Oh, did it?
But you know what? That is someone ratting you out.
It is. Honestly, we do not leave them outside at night or during the day.
It doesn't matter if you have a telly in the house, you've got to pay a license.
But you're the last election.
Need a license for everything.
I wonder, did somebody sit outside and they had one of those, you know, those radar dishes and the headphones, and they were like listening for dog barks? You know, like they do on the telly. That was the biggest lie of the 90s. That there was lads sitting outside your house in a van like the FBI.
Oh, yes.
And they were able to go like and tune into your fucking telly. And they had headphones and they were like, yeah, there's definitely a telly in there, PJ. Have they got a license and that address? Like they made you think that they had more technology than they did, when really it was just like they looked at a list of addresses and then, is there a license for this premises or not? But they fucking codded us. They made me think that everything I ever did in the house was listened to by a fella outside in the van.
Yeah.
And when I got into that van that day, little did I know.
It's because he had the
little
sacks.
Little did I know.
It's because he had the sacks.
Yeah.
So listen, I'm going to go out on the anthem. As you thank Ordo, I'm just going to sing the anthem.
Okay.
Thanks for...
It's the Ivory Coast, I told you. It's upside down.
Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We can't leave it as long next time.
Sure,
we love you, Gordo.
Well, you're both invited, and your spouses, to come for dinner in my house, in my new house.
Or cheap. Or cheap.
I live in a place that I don't want the internet to know.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Somewhere on the internet. But there's a studio being made in it to make more TCGs. There's a new TCG tower is going on, and very happy.
Just to explain to those not on the net. No, TCG isn't some new drug the kids are doing. TCG
It is. It's red pills.
It is.
Those conspiracy guys.
Those conspiracy guys.
Yeah.
It's
not the conspiracy guys, because I didn't want to be like the definite article. I didn't want to be like the tip top. It was just like, those ones.
I think I'm always calling it the conspiracy guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've listened to it already. If you haven't, you need to check it out. It's fucking huge. It's a phenomenon.
It's getting big, and 2020 promises to be the biggest year yet. It's just go from strength to strength.
Yeah, but it's a fantastic podcast, and it's well worth it now. Listen, Gordo, it's been a pleasure.
A pleasure. A more serious episode than I think you're usually used to. But
sure, that's okay.
It's very good to hear
that's the way it goes with the new, what's happening in the world at the moment. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down.
Yeah. I like to because I don't get to talk with people much about these kind of things. I'm more American facing.
Well, listen,
I think I have to focus a bit more on Ireland and look a little bit more close to home.
We're gonna have you back.
Yeah, I'd love to come back, and you guys are going to be on. We're going to do another serial killer.
Absolutely, you just hit us up,
and we might talk about him this time.
And I'm going to clear the weekend.
Not like weird stories about Emma looking at penises, whether she liked it or not.
We did talk about him.
We didn't. But we did mostly, but probably not as much. Yeah, I mean, it was like 11 hours or something, so.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, we got it in there somewhere.
But it sure flew by.
Flew by.
So I've been Junie J.
I've been Gordon Ratchford.
There's some flashbacks to that episode.
Getting the sweats again.
There's like flashback, pardon the pun.
I've been Emma Doran.